1,300 United Methodists. That's who I hung out with last week. 1,300 United Methodists from all over the country. That may not be something you can picture. May not be something you want to picture. Might be a kind of frightening thought. We took over this hotel. It was kind of insane. There are people, like, you know, shaking hands and hugging in the elevators and stuff. Very bizarre. And, you know, singing and skipping around and generally acting like the strange bunch that we can be when we get together. 1,300 of us! And we were there for a training event called Living the United Methodist Way, Turning Worlds Upside Down, talking about what the focus of the United Methodist Church is for the next 4 years or however much longer we keep the same focus areas, talking about our commitment to training good leaders and revitalizing congregations, building new churches, our commitment to eliminate poverty and improve global health, but in the process just having a lot of fun and a lot of excitement and a lot of energy about these ideas and about being together. And our worship services were led by two just phenomenal, powerful worship leaders. Mark Miller, who's an incredible musician, and Marcia McPhee, who literally wrote the book on exciting experiential worship. And they led the general conference last spring. And so, you know, they were so exciting. And it was great to be worshiping with all of these people in this huge ballroom. And at one point during one of the worship services, I was standing next to a friend of mine from the triannual conference, a layperson, who's very involved in, you know, conference activities and very involved in the life of the local church. And sometimes, for some people, when you're involved in the life of the church at any level, local church or conference or whatever, you get a little bogged down in the day-to-day stuff or the struggles and difficulties within the church and the global church and the local church and all. I mean, I know nobody here gets tired out or bogged down by those things, ever. But some people do, right? I mean, we can imagine what some people might do, because none of us would ever, you know, get overcommitted or stressed out. But imagine, try to put yourself in that space of somebody who might. And so this friend of mine, I looked over during the worship service, and we won't embarrass anyone, this friend of mine was visibly moved, shall we say, by this worship experience. In fact, pulling what we later refer to as a Becca, which is a reference to the fact that I am prone to public displays of emotion, particularly in conference settings, even more so when I'm pregnant, but even when I'm not. So my friend is moved by this experience and said later, you know, just to be in worship with all of these people from all around the country, and some folks from different parts of the world, but mostly it was an American United Methodist thing, but all around the country, 1,300 people worshiping God together, committing to the vision and the future of the United Methodist Church together, being excited about eliminating poverty and improving health and revitalizing the church and growing great leaders, lay and clergy leaders, and being the people of God together, and to be in this space with so many people and not be worrying about whether or not the lights got turned on and the heat got turned up or down and who was needing to look after which details and how which bill was going to get paid, but just to worship and to celebrate together. Well, that fills us up. That can fill us up right to the brim sometimes. And I think that often we don't know. We don't know how much we've been depleted until we stop and we take a chance to get filled up again and we go, oh, that's what I was missing. That's why I didn't feel quite right. That's why this feels so wonderful. I was missing this before. I needed that. I needed that. The work that we do as the people of God, the work that we do in the church to make it go, all those details that need to happen, the ministries that we provide to our community, to one another, to the world, these are important things. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of intention. Putting together a worship service takes work. You know, there's stuff to be done. And it's really important work, and we can trick ourselves into thinking that the work is so important that we should do it without ceasing. I've got to keep going. Got to get community lunch going. Got, you know, this week's done, next week's got to be planned. We have people to feed. This is important work, and it absolutely is. There's nothing to say that it's not important work, but The wonderful thing is that we have as our foundational example, not, we have plenty of examples from church history and people we respect throughout time, but we have as our foundational example in Christ a person who understood that even though the work he did was important, he didn't do it without ceasing. He had to stop. He had to get refueled. He had to take time by himself in prayer to fill up again. Now, what he was doing was, one might argue, even more important than what we're doing. He was literally healing people, body, mind, and spirit. He was saving, transforming lives. He was nourishing people in a way that they needed. He was giving them the very presence of God, and everyone was coming to him for that. The whole town gathering outside the doors of where he was staying, banging on the door, wanting to come in to touch him, to be touched by him, to be healed by him. So many people that when they closed down for the night and they sent folks away so they could get some sleep, there were more that came back the next day from that same town wanting his presence again, wanting healing and blessing again. But he didn't just give and give and give and give and give until he ran out. He stopped. And early in the morning, before dawn, before anybody else was awake, he got out of there. And he went and he found a secluded spot, and he prayed. They didn't stay there 5 minutes, because if he'd stayed there 5 minutes, he would have come right back, and nobody would have been looking for him. They'd never even known he was gone. No, he sat up there by himself long enough that people were coming to the disciples going, "Hey, where's your guy? We're here to see him. Where'd he go?" And they're running around going, "Geez, we can't keep track of him. He keeps running off like this. We don't know." And so they finally go out and they find him. And they say, "Hey, what are you doing, slacker? Everybody's looking for you." How many times have we heard something like that? "What are you doing? People were looking for you. What are you doing by yourself off somewhere? We needed your help. People, everyone is looking for you." And he doesn't even say, "Oh, great, well, let's go back and finish that." He says, "Actually, you know, I was thinking we need to keep moving. There's more work to be done. We've blessed this town. We've told them the good news. We've given them a description and a vision and an experience of what it is. So let's go to the next town, and the town after that, and the town after that, all throughout Galilee, healing people, body, mind, and spirit. But not without taking the time to fill up. Not without taking the time to recharge his batteries. He was the presence of God, and yet he needed more. He needed more presence of God. He needed more time with God. He needed more time with his own center, with his own spirit to replenish. Or he never would have done, never could have done all of that ministry, all of that healing. We probably never would have heard the story of this guy named Jesus. He'd have burned out in 2 months, if that. If he only gave and gave and gave and gave and never took time to refill and replenish who he was in God. And he was in God all the time. So what kind of perverse arrogance on our part to presume that we could just give and give and give when Jesus couldn't do it that way? That we could just keep going and going and going and never refill our batteries. Well, look at one of my favorite examples from church history is Martin Luther, you know, the Protestant Reformation guy. And Martin Luther used to say that there were days that he had so much work to do and so much pressing upon him that he'd never get it done if he didn't stop and take 3 hours to pray. The more stuff he had to do, the more he felt he had to pray. And the more important it was, and the more pressing it was, and the more stress there was on him, and this was a guy that really like had a lot of stress in his life, he seemed to thrive on it, the more stress that kept going on around him, the more he felt he needed prayer. Hours of prayer. And we might say, "Well, what a waste of time. You had so much on your plate, why'd you take 3 hours praying?" But that, he said, "I would not be able to do it. I would not be able to get it done if I didn't take 3 hours to pray." Sometimes we go around thinking that we can get stuff done without taking some time to refuel. Now, I know we don't like to refuel our cars because it's expensive, but the good news is that refueling ourselves is free. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't necessarily have to go anywhere. I mean, if what fills you up is 1,300 United Methodists in a room, well, then you're going to have to go find 1,300 United Methodists to get jazzed up with. You're going to have to start, you know, making sure you put yourself in situations where you can be in community like that together, because some of us are refueled, some of us are recharged, not in solitude, but in community. Whether it's the joy of all lifting prayer and praise together, or whether it's the interaction with people. You know, for me, it wasn't quite so much the worship that filled me about this experience, but the human contact between all these different people from all around the country. Now, we're all, we're all United Methodists, but we are all in love with God. And we are all excited about God's vision for the church and for the world and for what can happen when the people of God get fired up and get recharged and get excited about it. And that, for me, is part of what fills me up. But maybe what fills you up is quiet, is solitude, and absolute silence. You know, finding a room or a place outside where nobody's going to interrupt you. And nobody's going to come knocking and saying, hey, everybody's looking for you. What are you doing? And taking that time. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's church. I would hope that's part of the reason that we come to church, right? But that this may be just the beginning of it. This may be just sort of the foretaste of what you really need throughout the week to keep your batteries recharged. I mean, part of it is that we need to know ourselves. Because we're not all the same type of person. And we're not all going to be filled up the same ways. And so we need to be aware enough about ourselves and about our spirituality, about our relationship with God, about our relationship with the world around us, that we know what fills us up. You know, communion is something that fills me up big time. Big time. Like, I can't even really describe what it is about it, but that's a place where I am really, really nourished, really filled. I love that. I love serving it. I love receiving it. I love it. That fills me up. You know, leading worship in some ways fills me up, but it's also a giving. So for me, I need to make sure that I have some time during the week. And I'm standing up here, you know, the blind leading the blind here. I'm standing up here telling you that I struggle with this. Because I could give and give and give and give, and often I do. Now what happens when we do that? We run out of juice. We get tired. We get cranky. We get ineffective. We get drained. We get bitter. We get angry. Imagine if Jesus walked around like that all the time. A tired, ineffective, cranky, bitter, angry son of God? That doesn't do the world a whole heck of a lot of good. It doesn't do the world much good to have a whole bunch of tired, cranky, ineffective, bitter, angry children of God out there. And so we need to find what it is, where we reconnect with God, where we reconnect with our spiritual center. What fills you up? What fills you? Maybe it's silence. So seek out some silence this week. Maybe it's a structured prayer time, a devotional or a guide. You need something to kind of keep your thoughts in one place, you know? Seek that out. Maybe it is a group of people, a prayer group. Some folks pray better when they're praying out loud or sharing things with one another. So seek out a prayer group. Maybe it is finding a whole bunch of people and getting loud and rowdy and jumping around to some music, and that's the way that your spirit is refilled, that your batteries are recharged. There's not a right way or a wrong way to go about this. Just because Jesus liked to sit on top of a mountain, can you tell that I'm not really the silent type? Just because Jesus liked to sit and be quiet for a long time doesn't mean that that's the way we all get refueled. But we do need to know how we get refueled. We need to study ourselves. We need to reflect on, when did I feel most filled? When did I feel most blessed this week, this month, this year? When was the last time you felt that way? When was the last time you wept because the Spirit overwhelmed you? That should tell us something. That should tell us there was something in that moment that hit the refill button. There was something in that moment where we went, ding, this is it. This fills me up. This refuels me. This recharges me. This excites me and sends me out into the world. Because you see, if we're going to go from this town to the next healing, transforming, bringing the good news that folks so need to hear, sharing the presence of Christ that folks so want to know and to receive in so many different ways. If we're going to do that, then we need to be filled up. Before we can bless, we have to be blessed. Before we can serve, we need to be We need to be filled with God's service and God's heart. So what fills you? Find it. Seek it. Fill it up. So that when we come together and we are ignited and we are excited, we go forth from a place of fullness, from a place of joy, out to transform the world. Take some time to recharge and refuel. Amen.